Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and I, for one, would like to congratulate Elon Musk for starting his journey onto becoming the David Zaslav of social media companies. And with me, I have...
Halloween has come and gone. Now it's on to Thanksgiving, or as Walmart calls it, pre-Christmas, after pre-Christmas this month. Slow down.
And...
Don't look at the trunks. There's a whole bunch of Taylor Swift, which... Well, we will both see it's coming.
Yeah, you know how Billboard integrates everything into their charting algorithm? Guess what? The self-fulfilling prophecy has been fulfilled.
Taylor Swift album bomb, eh?
It killed the Hot 100. Good job, Billboard. Good job.
Well, good for Swift and her stans, I guess? I don't know. I'm not listening to that album. Do I look like I care about Taylor Swift? I got better things to do with my time. Like obsessing over the fact that Maximum the Hormone did an ending theme for Chainsaw Man. And it got reported by Metal Injection. Because they know what's up. It just warms my heart to see a metal blog talk about anime. And actually get the references right this time. I still haven't forgiven Metal Injection, at least I think that was the website, for the comment they made about that Avatar-themed metal band. When they said it was a Naruto-themed metal band. My brothers in Christ, those are not the same thing. The important distinction is that one of them is actually good.
And you know what? The past 2 days, I expected to hear some... I don't know some things about Dragon Tomb of Savage album, but turns out it comes out this week. It got delayed.
Yeah.
Apparently, producer 40 is sick because of COVID, which, I mean, that does suck. I mean, it does suck wishing on anyone. But, well, he's just prolonged the many, many hot takes and whatever. What's the fuck his name? El Pollo's Chicken?
Los Pollos TV.
El Pollo Loco. Him. Yeah, him.
El Pollo's...
Los Pollos Hermanos or something.
Him, that dude, doing some... mostly, you know, dick around the motherfucker.
But think about it. We could get a second co-live stream with Fantano here and get some more great memes.
Oh boy.
Fucking Drake and Drive.
What if Fantano might say some shit? What if Drake says some shit about Fantano on the record?
Oh god. I hate that you're right about that. That's very much a possibility.
I mean, considering at least this is like, let's see, about almost 5 months since the other album, the one game shit out.
Personally speaking, I think Anthony Fantano should rate the album a light one just on principle. But anyway, here we are, episode 287. So, how's everyone's week been going?
It's been better for me. I'm not as sick as I, you know, have been for the last few weeks. Like, I got medicine, actual medicine this time, finally. Yeah, it's been helping me a lot, helping me stop being sick. So much so that I went out this weekend and did something that I haven't really done in 5 years, maybe. I went to a basketball game.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yep. And because the Golden State Warriors were the ones coming to town, that meant the prices for tickets were going up. So I paid $100 for a relatively high up seat, but I still had a good view. And yeah, pretty fun time. Though, should a crappier team come into town, I could probably get a much better seat for like half the price, because that's how supply and demand works. Yeah, I needed to go out and do that after a kind of a rough month on my end with a whole bunch of things. Though, to note, as we're doing this right now, it's Halloween, Trivium is actually performing here in Charlotte. They have, you know, their whole tour, and Between the Buried and Me is one of the opening acts. I was tempted to buy a ticket to go see them, and then I saw they were only playing like 5 songs, so I figured, you know what, I don't like Trivium that much. I'll wait for their next headlining tour to come back around to see Between the Buried and Me again.
Now, if it was Ibaraki, on the other hand, that I'd be intrigued in.
Maybe so, yeah. Depends on whether or not Isam will be accompanying him on that, but I think that's yet to be determined, but yeah. So yeah, not much else to report. It's Halloween, we're doing this because, well, on my end, the weather is terrible outside, and everybody already did their Halloween stuff over the weekend. I saw a lot of weird college kids in costumes on the train to the basketball game on Saturday. I saw some folks dressed as Ricky Bobby. I saw some guy dressed as Robert Pattinson's Batman. A whole bunch of other stuff. It gets weird here in Charlotte sometimes.
So I guess no one's dressed as, let's see, a certain man with chainsaws.
No, we're not that weird around here.
Not while I'm recording this, anyway. Although I do want to say, I showed up to work on Friday and my coworker was dressed as Yor from Spy Family.
Ooh.
I was not expecting that. But anyway, Mark, what about you?
My week has been, well, not much happening. This is a week of mostly working bullshit, which I prepared for more working bullshit considering I know I'm going to have a lot of more work days coming forward, which way I'm going to be either tired or just, and I mean like, physically, like both physically and mentally. I know my job, like it's mostly a morning job, but I mean, again, nothing but like waking up in the morning just to go somewhere. Some people just want to stay in bed. Yeah, that's it.
Cool. And as for me, well, just, you know, the usual work stuff. And now that we're finally all set up to begin the move to the new place, that's going to be taking place over the next few weekends. So, again, we'll see how that affects the schedule of the podcast for the next month or so. Hopefully I can have at least one or two, you know, episodes in or something. But, yeah, aside from that, we can now move on to our usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and pick up some new tunes for your playlist and market calendars for some new releases. Starting right up at the top, just really quickly getting this one out of the way, we have a one-off here from the band Quicksand. It's been about a couple years, I think, since their last album, so no word of a new one yet, but we have this song called Feliz here, and it's a decently solid listen. It's a pretty straightforwardly structured, you know, verse-chorus type of thing, but it's got a nice, energetic, tight groove to it. The way the drums and bass hold everything down with the guitars, chugging along with this pretty, like, straightforward but satisfying to listen to set of riffs that just kind of repeat themselves throughout the song. Nothing too major, but it's solid enough for what it is.
Yeah, the mighty riffage of 90s hardcore rings through real strong here. The guitar tone just cuts through perfectly with the drums and that booming bass. It's a great, quick burst of a song here. Very good stuff. Very good. Very good.
Now moving on to a only tangentially related set of things, because these bands have shared a member at one point. Well, okay, not share, but there's degrees of separation here, basically, but yeah, we, in the past week, have gotten word of a new EP coming out, courtesy of the band Crosses. This being the trio of Sean Lopez from the band Far, bassist Chuck Doom, and of course on vocals, Chino Moreno from Deftones. The new project is an EP called Permanent.Radiant. It's due out December 9th, and it's their first, like, collection of recorded material since 2014, pretty much. Like, I think there were a couple remixes in the past couple years or something, but not, like, a full project or anything. Not since that initial trilogy of EPs. But, yeah, as for this new song we have here, it's called Vivienne. I think that's how it's pronounced. I don't know if that's, like, a name or another Spanish language term, like, Feliz. But, I mean, it's pretty familiar territory from, like, those 8 years ago. Chino gives his usual, like, dreamlike vocal performance. You know, underneath all that, you have, like, this looping synthetic drum beat that kind of, like, you know, overall dream pop vibe, as the song does burst out a bit more in the chorus with more of this, you know, volume to it, punctuated by this kind of, like, synthetic guitar thing going on there. It sounds like Cross is all right. Perfectly solid music for just throwing on and vibing.
So this is industrial lo-fi pop, I think. It's got some solid hooks to it and a strong groove, but that's about as much as I can say about it. It's just, it feels like it's trying to blend a couple things together, and it doesn't perfectly work. Also, the first few bars of the chorus sounds a lot like Britney Spears' Baby One More Time, and I cannot get that out of my head now, and neither can any of you once you hear it.
You know, I feel like I'm going to have to re-listen to the song after this now, and I'm going to regret the possibility that you might be right. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Oh, hey, look at that. It's once again Boldy James O'Clock.
Wow, that's the... How many times have I talked about this guy? It's like, okay, let's see what... Okay, like the second or third time, this month, apparently. And as you know, Boldy has always got an album out because he's always got an album out. Yeah, the last time we talked about him, he made a single called Drop an Album. But this time, this is a song part of the album, which is Mr. 10-8, which is, of course, another project with him and a sync producer. This time he teams up with producer Future Way, and this track is called Could Be Worse. Okay, I don't know why you needed that. But okay.
Yeah, you know.
I gotta say, this thing has like a very laid back jazzy ass beat. Like this is kinda like that fluttery, buttery jazzy beat, which like, okay, it's kind of slick. I've got to think of it. And okay, I could explain was in a Boldy James song, but at this point, I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm pretty sure if you listen to him, you know what the fuck he's talking about. I know this seems lazy to say that, but that ain't much to explain. I mean, if you know his content by now, which basically, you know, should be in the, you know, in the Detroit, you know, drug shit. And this is what it is, some drug shit. And all right, and it's pretty decent. I like what I heard from this. And yeah, okay. Let me know the album's coming this week.
Anyway, moving on to the next track here. Hey, it looks like we got a Lucy from good old Mr. IDK over here.
We haven't heard him in a while or something. That's what I heard from him was him doing that EP with Kitchenaw a few months back. And okay.
This is true.
Yeah, and I heard he's touring with Pusha T right now. Which, okay, you're some good company with there. And so, and the track over here is called Monsieur Dior. Yeah, like the video with him to his homecoming at Howie University, and apparently at a Paris Dior show. And interesting about the song, mostly the sample. Okay, the sample is from a song called, and I'm gonna fuck this up, Huit October 1971. By the French jazz band Cortex. Here's the thing about that.
Yep, that certainly sounds French.
Yeah, here's the thing about that song, and you're wondering if you heard that sound before. You heard that sound before, and notice what day it is. At least the date is recording. Yes, it's Halloween. This sample by MF Doom from the song One Beer from his album Food.
Oh.
Yeah, and oh yeah, not much of a downer, but this is the anniversary of his death.
Yeah, I was wondering why I felt a bit bummed out today.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, but you're wondering for me, like, this is a good tribute. I mean, considering that the video ends with long live MF Doom, which which, of course, yeah. And, I mean, and it's also pretty good. The music is good. IDK, I mean, IDK just, well, again, I ain't got nothing to say right here, but, yeah, I mean, songs all good and shit.
Yeah. Yes, it is. And very French. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, looks like we already have a potential early album of the year contender for 2023, as the guys in Algiers have announced a new project coming out February 24th. The album is called Shook, and of course we got pre-orders and even a track list out now. In addition to the previously released Billy Woods Backwash collab Bite Back, we also have guest appearances from the likes of Big Rube, Mark Cisneros, Samuel T. Herring and Jay Matthews, and others, one of those others being Zach De La Roca of Rage Against the Machine. Ooh. In fact, he's the guest feature on the lead-off single that came with the album announcement, a track called Irreversible Damage. The first thing that stands out about it compositionally is that there's definitely a lot of synth underlying the song. So it kind of has like the energetic, like stuttering of like, you know, a techno beat with this kind of bassier melody that at times feels reminiscent of like almost some Blade Runner-esque synthwave type of thing, mixing in with like some of those trap drum elements in there, you know, reflecting some of the hip-hop elements they take. And speaking of hip-hop, on the last track we talked about, Franklin James Fisher was doing a lot more rapping vocals on the track, and here you definitely get more of that, like that very forceful rap flow of his combined with very soulful belting on the chorus. It all sounds very wonderfully fantastic, and of course, you know, bringing in some of the rock influence, there are guitars in the song, although they do mostly pop up in the chorus and this kind of fuzzed out, like, distorted melody to them. And of course, when Zach jumps in on, like, the second verse, he does, you know, his Zach De La Roca thing, and it all sounds really great and just really unique unto itself. And this is the kind of stuff that makes me excited for Algiers as, like, one of the best bands in, you know, the current rock scene. It's just, so good.
This is like post everything. It's wild, wacky. It sounds like a blend of various cacophonies all rolled up together. It sounds like a jazz fusion band crossed with Flying Lotus, and then you have Zach De La Rocha involved in there as well. It's great.
Okay, that's okay. That description makes me wonder why listen even more. Yeah, that's the way, and yeah, I gotta say, like, even though I did listen to Algiers' last album and that those two tracks, and you know the last two tracks, I'm like, they were going this more hip hop-ish direction, at least what I heard from them recently. It's like, okay, I'm gonna be interested in seeing how this will go.
We have like 4 months left to go, I believe, if I have my numbers right. So
three.
Let's see.
February,
November, December, January, February. This is a tangent, so we're not debating each other's math skills. What are we, nerds?
I mean, only one of us has a degree in that.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's move on to the last track that we have on the docket here, going from, you know, the realm of Algiers all the way to the mainstream of pretty much everything we can think of. So, it's been about 6 years or so since the last time we heard a proper studio album from Rihanna. That being 2016's Anti... Jesus Christ, the same year we started this podcast. Holy shit.
Yeah.
It's been a long while.
Yeah.
And aside from, like, you know, a couple guest spots, like, in the year directly after that, in 2017, as well as Party Next Door song from like 2 years ago, she hasn't done much musically speaking, although she did have a handful of roles in various feature films here and there, like Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, Ocean's 8, and even Childish Gambino's Guava Island thing, which I don't think I ever got around to watching.
Oh yeah, I think that's on Amazon Prime.
Of course it would be. But, yeah, I guess it's fitting then that the first new solo music we've gotten from Rihanna in that amount of time is from a film soundtrack. After various social media teases over the past few days, she's unveiled a brand new song called Lift Me Up, which is a contribution to the soundtrack of the upcoming Marvel Studios film Black Panther: Wakanda Forever. a movie that I gotta be honest, I'm still not entirely sure what it's even about. Other than, like, I think the Submariner's in it. But, yeah, I guess fittingly enough, the song certainly sounds like Rihanna doing a ballad-type track for a movie, that's for sure. The instrumentation, we mainly get a lot of, like, string arrangements here. The primary focus being a lot of, like, harp melodies and some other, like, you know, violins here and there. It's very, you know, like, emotional, exactly the way you would expect from, like, a movie soundtrack. And Rihanna, this is one of those songs where, like, she just sounds really great, you know, just singing on it. She's always been, like, a good vocalist, and songs like this really let her just, like, shine her strengths as a singer.
This is definitely a tearjerker movie ballad in every way. God knows how it'll play out in the movie proper. And as for the soundtrack as a whole, from what we understand, Rihanna's going to do for this what Kendrick Lamar did for the first Black Panther soundtrack, be sort of the executive curator for it, so who knows what we're going to get.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say, like, of course, like, I did think it would have the song did, you know, try to, you know, got to the most considering, you know, everything that happened in the movie and in real life regarding, you know, Chadwick Boseman and how, you know, the role of the child's playing the movie with, yeah, that. And we'll say as a song itself, as a song by itself, it's fine. I will say it's fine, but as it, like, you know, it contributes to what might happen, how many people will see the movie and see, how it happens. Like, I think it'll go deeper than that, at least as far as I know.
Yep, we'll just have to wait and see. Anyway, that about does it for the new, you know, song discussion. We do have one news topic here, and since it's literally just the one, we're just going to pretty much jump right into that. So, this is an announcement for the inaugural lineup for a brand new music festival. This one is called the Adjacent Music Festival, which is a name, sure. It's going to be taking place over 2 days at Atlantic City Beach in New Jersey, May 27th and 28th of 2023. Apparently, it's composed of, like, you know, three different stages. It doesn't exactly say, like, how the stages, you know, break down as far as their lineups, but we do at least have, you know, the poster here telling us what the lineup is, you know, for this festival. So, yeah, on Memorial Day weekend, if you happen to be in Atlantic City, some of the bands you'll be able to catch, or I guess all the bands you'll be able to catch, there's your two big headliners, Blink-182 and Paramore. Once again, Tom DeLonge need to recoup his losses on the alien thing. Moving on from that, some of your other acts include the likes of Bleachers, Turnstile, Japanese Breakfast, Coheed and Cambria, in this economy, apparently. Jimmy Eat World, The Front Bottoms, Idols, Andrew McMahon in the Wilderness. He doesn't have any relation to Vince McMahon, does he?
As far as I know, no.
Okay, noted. There's Beach Bunny, Pup, Knocked Loose for all the guys in sweaters who want to throw down the pit. We got Midtown. Craig of the Creek composer, Jeff Rosenstock.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you all didn't know that. Well, now you do, if you didn't. Thursday, Motion City Soundtrack. Wait, why is it Thursday if this is on the weekend? Your lineup logic is flawed. Yeah, much as a soundtrack, The Starting Line, Surf Curse, The Happy Fits, Water Parks, Phantom Planet, The Movie Life, Mannequin Pussy, Wheatus, LS Dunes, The Linda Lindas, Royal and the Serpent, again, in this fucking economy. Loveless, Hot Milk, Meet Me at the Altar, I Am the Avalanche. I'm sorry, Meet me at the altar. I am the avalanche. Are we really using whole ass sentences as band names?
I mean, it's a thing that bands do. Isn't that right? I built the sky.
Man, next up, save that for either like metalcore bands or like your song titles.
Next up, here's the lotion.
Anyway, there's a sick brain, three eyes, pink shift, oxymorons. There's two R's in there.
How very oxymoronic.
Or just regular moronic, who knows? Neil Rubinstein, which, isn't that the character that Greg Turkington plays in On Cinema? Anyways, Well Wisher. Not to mention, in addition, there's the likes of Off! Exclamation point. Drug Church. Finally, a church just for me. Folly. Incendiary. Oh shit, Soul Glow. Nice. Candy. Zulu. And Gel. So, yeah. I guess for anybody that's going to, again, for anybody that's going to be in the Atlantic City area who needs something to do on the beach besides splishy splash in the water, or whatever the hell people do on the beach in Jersey. I assume they eat Taylor Ham and Gabagool.
Maybe not on like the boardwalk of Atlantic City, but yeah, I've never been there, so I can't tell. But this is just SiriusXM Alt Nation, the festival, like from top to bottom.
I don't have access to SiriusXM, so I'm just going to take your word for it. So, yeah, that's pretty much it for that festival thing. So, that just leaves the last bit of business here, which is, of course, the new album releases for the week of November 4th, 2022. Of course, starting at the top, after a 1 week delay due to production issues, we have the newest album from Devin Townsend with Lightwork. From Boldy James, as previously mentioned, we have his album Mr. 1008. We have A Boogie With Da Hoodie, his name I haven't had to think about in a while, with Me Versus Myself. We have a new album from Joji coming out this Friday called Smithereens. Okay. From the band Phoenix, we have Alpha Zulu. And from Alicia Keys, we have her first ever Christmas album, Santa Baby.
Okay.
Woo.
You know, Backstreet Boys were doing it. I guess others have to as well. But sorry, go ahead.
No, that was my reaction to that.
Yeah. I don't blame you. So, yeah, we're just going to clean house now and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, Aura of Azure. There may be contingency plans in place should Wario go nuclear on the platforms. If you want to hear me rant about sports, there you go. I do that now. Why not?
Cool. Mark, what about you?
Well, still on Twitter for now as MacToHybrid Media, and on my site Mind the Hype One at hype1.wordpress.com. I did another review the past week. It is on the recently ended Housing Complex C, aka what the fuck was that?
It was a thing. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, etc. at Rob Barracuda. You can email me, robert@sewerresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and Google Podcasts. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. A video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel. So subscribe, hit the bell tab so you're notified whenever anything goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuroRezzo, like us on Facebook, visit the website SuroResolution.com for written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, and all of that good stuff. Hell, remember, I'm still doing weekly Chainsaw Man write-ups, which I guarantee, while I don't know if they are the absolute number one most insightful takes you will find, they'll soon be a hell of a lot better than certain takes you've seen floating on Twitter these past few days. the media illiteracy is at an all-time high these days.
Oh, Lord.
Anyway, and don't forget to jump into our Discord chat so you can post memes and food and deals, you know, all kinds of things.
Also,
just whatever people feel like posting at the moment.
I also wonder, I forgot that, what's that fucking cereal again? Whatever the fuck it is.
I'm still convinced that's a Photoshop. You all are making that up. There was no Fruit Brute.
Oh, that's the name of it. I'm thinking like that was a fucking real thing, and apparently it was on Pulp Fiction.
Yeah,
I thought that was a fake cereal. You know, Tarantino always puts fake shit on there. Like you're just called Big Kahuna Burger. If it's real, is it real? I forgot.
I will look that up. But look, it, as far as I'm concerned, it's Count Chocula, Frankenberry, and Boo Berry. If you try to convince me that Fruit Brute is real, I will tell you that it's about as real as Creature with the Black Macaroons. That's a Robot Chicken reference. Anyway, that'll about do it for this week. Hopefully we'll be back sometime in the next week or so with more of our usual business. And until next time, that ominous sound you hear in the distance is Mariah Carey defrosting. Plan appropriately.
Run!
And she's behind us. Bye.